You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Job 22. I want to minister this morning something burning on my heart. Of course, we've been teaching on the power of the tongue, the power of what you say, the importance of what you say. The biggest lie ever told is sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt me. You know, words do hurt. Words help, or they destroy. They build up, or they tear down. Words are what we need to keep going, or words sometimes stop us from going any further. So words are important. Now, there's abuse in it when it comes to the teaching of confessing the word. You know, you can go to extreme with anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Extremists, I think, are wrong in any camp. There's always balance and context, and the Scripture puts everything in context. I believe strongly in confessing the Word, strongly in confessing what God says about me and about my family and about this ministry and so on and so forth. But it's still based on what God says. It's not just based on what I want or you want or, you know. I mean, we've been accused of being that blab it and grab it bunch, that name it and claim it bunch. But I would think that would put you in the category of being a doubt and do without bunch. Hello. I'd rather be in the believe and receive bunch. Amen. But then there's extreme. There's people just confessing everything and anything, you know, and just claiming everything and anything. And that's just wild. You have to base things on the Word of God. And it should come out of your heart. Amen? Somebody. You know, Jesus said in Matthew, the 12th chapter, 33rd through 37th verse there, he said, he started out, even make the tree good, or either make the tree good or the fruit good, or the tree evil or the fruit evil, for the tree is known by its fruit. And he says, how can you, being evil, speak good things, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Amen. So you're going to speak what's inside of you, and if you're greedy, you're just going to be claiming everything. If you're, hello, if you're full of the Word, you'll be claiming the Scripture, whatever the Scripture promises. And I do believe God wants to prosper you. He wants you to have a good marriage. He wants you to have a good life. But that comes out of the outflow. That comes out of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. It comes out of the Lord prospering you. I wish and pray above all things, John said in 3 John, the second verse, that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That's a result of what's on the inside. Amen. So it's priority. Get right here. Get right on the inside. Get right with God. And then everything else will line up. Got one amen on that, but that's the truth nonetheless. You say, well, I got to fix all this other stuff. No, what you got to fix is this in here. You got to fix this heart. You got to fix the inside. You got to get priorities right. You put God first, everything else will line up. That's just the way it happens. The rest of it's thrown in free. If you go after this earth, you're going to lose it in heaven too. If you go after heaven, you'll get heaven and the earth thrown in free. Good stuff. Amen. Excuse me. Deuteronomy 28 tells us, first verse, it says, hearken. If you hearken, if, everybody say if. I like that. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God. If you hearken diligently, if you listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His sight and keep these commandments which I command thee this day, then I'll set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come on you and they'll overtake you. And blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, flocks, your sheep, the increase, your cattle, and your kind. Hallelujah, somebody. I cause the rain to come down your land and the seed. You'll be blessed going in. You'll be blessed coming out. You'll lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. But you got to back up that first verse. If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His sight and obey His commandments which He commands you this day. So getting right with God is paramount. I mean, that's the most important thing in your life. Above and beyond everything else. You know, I counsel with people many times. It's a broken marriage, financial problems. The list just goes on and on, you know. And they want to fix this and they want to fix that. And I always am quick to say, well, first, you know, we need to get right with God. That's what we got to do first. Yeah, but I want to get this. I want to get my wife back, or I want to get my husband back. Well, you know what? If that's the priority, listen to what I'm saying. That's a priority. There's no guarantee there. There's no guarantee there anyway because you have two wills involved. But if you'll get right with God, you've got a better shot at this deal. And the main thing is you need to get right with God. And you don't need to get right with God so you can get your wife back or so you can get your husband back. You need to get right with God because you need to get right with God. Are you out there? So that's just priority, you know. Okay, I'll get right with God so I can get my house paid for. No, you need to get right with God because you need to get right with God.
Amen.
But now, having said that, yes, when you get right with God, you'll be in a better position for all these other things to straighten out. But that can't be your motive. I mean, you can't say, well, okay, I will serve God so I can have something. I mean, you've got to say, look, I'm going to serve God because it's right to serve God. Because He's God and I'm not. Hallelujah. Because He loves me and He's for me and He's not against me and He's made a way for me and I need to be right with Him. I need to be right with my Maker. And now, my Father. Hallelujah. Now, out of that overflow, out of the outflow of that, is prosperity. No question. Healing. Peace of mind. Purpose. Direction. Joy forevermore. All those are just products of being right with the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, well, I'm having trouble loving people. Well, no, actually, you have a problem loving God. Because if you love God, you'll love people. No, I love God. It's people I can't stand. Well, I beg to differ. Because if you love God, He'll cause you to love people.
Amen.
And you need to spend a little more time in the prayer closet, as it were. You need to spend a little more time loving God, and it'll help you love people. Are you out there? Yeah, it's like, you know, pastors say, well, pastor would be fine if you didn't have to deal with people. The only problem is you can't pastor without people. Everybody on a job says the same thing, but, you know, that's, life doesn't work that way. All right, so, everybody found Job 22?
Yeah.
This is going to be good. You're going to love this. You're going to wonder where you've been all your life. I had something else up here I was looking at in Ephesians 4, but it has nothing to do with what I'm teaching on here. You know, when Brenda mentioned about we ought to be living, you know, to give and not living to just make it, you know, not working just to make a living, but we ought to work to give. That's really exactly what the Bible says. In fact, Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See, we got it kind of backwards. I'm working on my job to pay my bills. Well, actually, no, you're working on your job so you can give. You're working on your job so you'll have something to give. You say, well, I got to pay a bill. Well, yes, you got to pay your bills. I understand that. But God has blessed you with a job so you can tithe and give. And that really should be our goal. And we should get our houses paid for. Let's believe God to get out of debt and get all that paid for. That's free. That's not what you gave the offering for. So, Job 22. Job 22, verse 22. This is good. I want to lead up to a verse that's well known and we quote often, but I want to get it in context here. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version, similar to the King James. Just takes out the yeas, verily, forsooth, peradventures, and hitherto. You know, all the little archaic or antiquated words there. I'm not a real big advocate of one or the other. There's a lot of great translations, so if you're in another translation, follow along with me. But when I read something that's a little different than yours, just remember I'm right and you're wrong. At least for today, because I'm up here preaching. But anyway, 22nd verse, 22nd chapter, says, now acquaint yourself with Him. I love that. Everybody say, get to know God. That's what he's saying. Acquaint yourself with Him and be at peace. Oh, man, I mean, I can have a camp meeting right there. You want peace? Get to know God. Get to know God. Well, if I had all this fix and that fix, and if I had this and I had that, and if this would be taken care of and that would be taken care of, I'd have peace. No. You have peace. You have peace to the degree that you know God, to the degree that you're close to Him, to the degree that you're trusting Him. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, you know, priority, first thing you and I need to do is get right with the Lord and make sure our relationship is right. It doesn't matter about our relationship with everybody else if our relationship with God's not right. If our relationship with God is right, He'll help us with our relationship with everybody else. And I go a little further, our relationship with everything else, not just people, but everything else. I mean, our job will be better, our life will be better, we'll handle things better if our relationship with Him is better. Because if we acquaint ourselves with Him, we'll have to be at peace. And thereby good will come to you. Thereby what? As a result of acquainting myself with Him. As a result of getting to know Him. The more I know Him, more good will come to me. The more I know Him, the more I'll be at peace. Make sense? Okay. So, and he says, receive, please, instruction from the mouth, from his mouth, and lay up his words in your heart. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. What am I going to do? I asked so-and-so, and they said this. I asked so-and-so, and they said that. I asked all my co-workers, and they said this. Well, have you gone to God? Have you received instruction, please? I love this. The New King James says, receive, please. Please, do this. Please. Receive instruction from His mouth. Do you know what He says? Have you taken those instructions? Are you listening to what He's saying? Are you patterning your life and making your decisions based on what He says? Is He your instructor or someone else your instructor? Or is your feelings your instructor? Or your desires, is that your instructor? What instructs you? What do you listen to? Listen to what you want or listen to what God wants? We need to listen to Him, amen? And of course, if you acquaint yourself with Him, that you get in to know Him, you'll be at peace. That's important too. Don't panic. Don't flip out. Chill out. Okay, chill out. Thereby good will come to you. Receive, please, instruction from His mouth and lay up His words in your heart. See, fill your heart with His words. That's what Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you want to talk right, you're going to have to listen right. Amen? Because if you don't listen, if you're not listening right, you're not going to talk right. If you're listening to the wrong things, you're going to talk the wrong things. If you're listening to the right thing, you're going to talk the right things. So what we're being compelled to do here, asked to do here from God's Word is that get to know Him and listen to what He has to say and lay His words up in our heart. This is what's going to straighten our life up. This is what's going to straighten out the messes in our life. It's not going to solve every problem. It's not going to keep everything wrong from happening. We live in a fallen world. I understand that. But we are going to live better. We're going to have peace. And we're going to have answers when the problems do come. And the crisis does come. We'll have help. We'll have hope. You know, the idea that if you just do everything God says and just stand on God's Word and just believe God, you'll never have another problem. That's foreign to the Scripture. There's going to be problems because we're in a broken world. But we have answers when they come. Amen? We have help when they come. There's going to be loss. Did you know that everybody in here, if Jesus tarries, every one of us are going to die? That's going to hurt somebody. Are you with me? It's going to hurt me when you pass away. But if we all live long enough, we'll die. That's a profound statement. I know you need to write that down somewhere. Put that down. Unless Jesus comes. And Jesus could come right now. I mean, even so come Lord Jesus. I'm ready. Come on. I'm ready. But if not, then people will die. That's a loss. That's a pain. That's a hurt. But you know what? There's hope. There's still hope. If you know Him and you have His words in your heart, you can still have peace. Even in the grief and even in the misery and even the pain, it'll pass. It won't stay. It'll get better because you know that this person, this loved one, if they know Jesus, are in a better place. God's Word gives us peace at times like this. Wonderful. Amen? Amen? So it says, receive, please, instruction from His mouth and lay up His words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. Love that. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. Let's get back to Jesus. Come on, turn to the Lord. You say, well, I've done this and I've done that. Well, you know what? We got no stones to throw. If you're going to go through this church and just go through all of our lives, you'd be shocked. So y'all were bad people. Me too. But I got saved. Amen. Or I got right, or you got right, or you know, you strayed away and you got in sin. Well, you know, God's against sin. We're against sin. We don't like sin. We're not for sin. We're not condoning sin. I'm not whitewashing sin and say it's okay. It's not okay. And God forbid that I, as a minister of the gospel, stand up here and tell you it's okay to go out there and sin. Hello. But God forbid that I, as a minister of the gospel, stand here and tell you there's no hope for you. There is hope for you. All you got to do is repent. Come to Jesus. Return to the Almighty. Return to God. You say, well, I just hadn't done things right. Join the club. Hallelujah. Nobody in here has done everything right. But it's about repentance. It's about getting back to God. It's about starting over. Hallelujah. It's about the God not of a second chance, but of 1,000 chances. If you return to God, He'll wipe away your iniquity. He'll wipe away your sin. If you've been sinning all your life, you've been away from God, and this is your first day to get right, this could be it. You could start a new life today. Yeah. Right. Woo! What about this? What about, whoa, slow down. All you need to do is get right with God. Yeah. Let's get to God through Jesus Christ, obviously. Let's come to Him. And He says this, if you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. God's not going to beat you down. He's going to build you up. He's not going to destroy you and remind you the rest of your life of how miserable and sorry and worthless you are. He is going to build you up and make something out of you that you never could have been without Him. Return to the Almighty and you'll be built up. You will remove iniquity far from your tents. You'll start serving God. You'll start overcoming sin because of your relationship with God. You see how powerful this is. If you get right with the Lord, it empowers you. You know, that's our motto or logo or impact statement. We say it every service. What are we about? We are about empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ so they can change their world. I love that. Because without Jesus, you got no power. But with Him, you are empowered with good news to change the world. Change your world and change the world around you. Hallelujah. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up and you will remove iniquity far from your tents. Then, now this is a little confusing because I know some people use this verse to say that we're going to pile up gold like dust, but that's not what it's saying. Actually, it's saying we'll lay aside our gold like dust. It won't be anything to us. It won't amount to anything to us compared to our relationship with God. It's really just the opposite. Some people say, well, and I've heard it even in our circles, says, well, we're going to lay up gold and pile it up like dust. We're going to have so much of it. Well, God does bless us, I know, but the point He's making is that gold won't mean a thing to us if we're right with God. We won't lust after it. We'll have plenty of it, but we won't lust after it. He'll meet our needs, but we won't be panicking and laying awake all night wondering how we're going to make money because our heart's right with the Lord. We'll lay it aside, basically, what He's saying, in the ground like dust. We'll just lay it aside. That's the context of it. And I've heard it, you know, preached the other way, but the funny thing about Scripture, you have to put Scripture in context. Hello? Like read the verse ahead and read the verse behind and then put them together. And I do believe in prosperity. I believe God will bless you. No question. I mean, the young lions who lack and suffer hunger, the Scripture says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. And Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or lack. Hallelujah. We know that. And Paul said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So I know He does that. We know He loves to, He daily loads us with His benefits. He delights in our prosperity, the Scripture says. I understand that. I know that. I believe in prosperity. I'm just saying this verse doesn't say that. Y'all out there?
Yes.
Not to take away from God taking care of us and supplying for the sparrow and the lily and clothing us and feeding us. I know that. I know if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. I know that. Hallelujah. I trust that God does meet my needs. And that when I give, it does come back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I do believe that God wants to bless us and increase us and to multiply us and make us better. No question. And that includes money and includes finances. No question. But I also believe in priorities. Amen? You can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. But the moment it has you, you've crossed the line. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not the having of it. Not the accumulation of it. Not the abundance of it. You could be abundantly blessed financially. But the love of money is when you cross the line. The love of money is the root of all evil, which some, having coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. Are you with me? Okay. So let's get that straight. Prosperity, yes. God blessing us, you better believe it. Priority, God first. Our love for God above all else. And see, this is what's so good about this. You don't have to have money to love God.
Right.
And you can have money and love God.
Amen.
In fact, you can be in a mess and still love God. Amen. And you can get out of your mess and still love God. If you love God, you'll have peace.
Amen.
And He'll help you. He'll help you with the mess. Amen. So then it says, you will lay your gold in the dust, and the gold of ophir among the stones of the brooks. In other words, you just throw it in the river, is what he's saying. You throw it in the dust. It won't mean a thing to you. It won't have a pull on you. Man, I love that. I want to be there where it just doesn't have a pull on me. I do want my knees met. I do want to prosper. No question about that, because I can do more with than without. I believe God wants to prosper this church because we can support more missions. We can start more outreaches. We can build more buildings. And God does not want the church in debt. And God doesn't want the church begging for money. God wants the church prosperous. But God wants the church with the right priorities and the right purpose. When purpose is lost, abuse is inevitable. I understand that. So we don't want to lose our purpose. Everything we do, everything we build, every land we buy, every building we erect, every television we get on or radio we get on or CD or DVD we make, or you know, every program we start boils down to this, that people might be saved, that people might come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be healed, that they might be filled with the Holy Ghost, that they might get their marriages back together, that they find out who they are, that they can make it, that they would get hope, that they would get healing and help. I don't care if we're digging a ditch. I don't care if we're typing on the computer. I don't care if we're turning the lights on or cleaning the building or whatever it is we do. That's why we do what we do. We don't lose sight of purpose. Amen? And that's because we love God. We love God. We're not a club. We're not just a church with a name. Are you out here?
Amen.
We love God. We want to know Him. We want to know Him more. We're not ashamed of Him. We're not ashamed to lift our hands. We're not ashamed to cry. We're not ashamed to rejoice. We're not ashamed to shout. We're not ashamed of the Lord.
Amen.
Real men love Jesus.
Yeah.
Real men pray. Real men, macho men, live holy. Are you with me? Real women, love Jesus. Real men, you want to be a real man? You want to be a man? Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. You want to be a real man? Be faithful to your wife. Live holy. Don't lie. Love people. Help people. Live for others. Are you with me? See, that's purpose. That's purpose. And it all comes from loving God. Equating yourself with Him. Spending time with Him. See? And the outflow of that, or the overflow of that, is of course we're going to be blessed. Of course we're going to be built up. No question. Sin's going to leave us. We're going to live holy. And gold, we'll have plenty of, but it won't mean a thing to us. We'll lay it down like dust. We'll throw it in a river. It won't mean, you know, it's not something we're going to hoard up and lust over. And yes, 25th verse. Yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver. That's what you'll hoard up. That's what you'll long for. That's what you'll desire. That's what will make you important. That's what will cause you to be successful. That's what will determine whether you believe you've made it or not. Your relationship with God, not the amount of money you got. The Lord will be your gold. The Lord will be your precious silver. Y'all see the context? Everybody say context. Okay, I love that. I like clearing up some of those things. Because sometimes we'll hear that. You know, and I've heard it too, and it sounds good. Man, you're going to be so blessed. God's going to bless you so much, you're going to lay up gold like dust. Well, actually saying lay it in the dust and throw it in the river, and God's going to be our gold and God's going to be our silver. Now, that didn't take away from prosperity. God does want to prosper us. I understand that. But that's just not what this scripture is saying. This scripture is talking about getting right with the Lord and an overflow that comes from that, or the outflow that comes from being right with the Lord. How many of you have needs in your life today? Just to make sure I'm teaching the right. Okay, about half of you. The rest of you are going to pray for you. Okay. Or get you all to preach if you... We all got needs, issues. You know, it's got tickled. You know, we talk about Mark 5, where it says the woman with the issue of blood 12 years, she had an issue of blood 12 years, but a lot of us have issues. You know, not the same issue, but we got issues. And we all, in some form or fashion, are dysfunctional. You know, I always like to say this, everybody's normal until you get to know them. We don't like to admit it, and we put it on the front. But, you know, we got things we're dealing with. We've got needs. We've got things we need to work on. And whatever I do, I know we all do. Well, you know what? I want to get right with God and fix all that. If I just center on that thing and don't center on my relationship with God, it's not going to happen. Because you're not going to do this on your own. You're not going to do it without Him. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. That's not a negative. That's a positive scripture because we are with Him. We are not without Him. Therefore, we can do, Philippians 4:13, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. Woo! Yes. All right, so he says, yes, the Almighty will be your gold and your precious silver, for then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to Him and He will hear you. And you will pay your vows. You will have plenty to pay whatever you owe and to pay your vows that you made, your commitments that you made. You'll be able to. You won't burn out. You won't give up. You won't quit because you've made God your gold and your silver, because you delight in Him, because He is who you're acquainted with. You're listening to His instruction and His word is in your heart and your face is lifted up to Him. Now, when you pray, He'll hear you. See, sometimes we take these old scriptures about praying and asking and receiving, but we don't really put them in context. You pray and ask and receive because you're right with the Lord. I mean, come on. You pray and ask and receive because you're believing, because you've got your trust in Him. It's not magic. These aren't magic words. You know, you just say this and say Jesus' name and this will happen. No, I have a right to the name of Jesus. I have a right to receive an answer because I believe. I believe because I know Him. Are you with me? And so my relationship gives me that privilege. With every right comes a responsibility. Hello. Not take away from believing and receiving. I believe that. But it's because I know Him, because I'm acquainted with Him, because His Word's in me. You know, John 15:7 says, it's pretty good. Yeah. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done. That's a good one. I like that. Now, sometimes we just kind of take that second part. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done. Yeah, let's back up a little bit. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done. So there's a guarantee. There's a promise. There's a hallelujah. That's a great, great scripture to stand on if you're right with the Lord. Now, I mean, obviously, if you're abiding in Him and His Word's abiding in you. But you can't just ask anything out of the blue. You've got to be in context with the Word abiding in you and you abiding in Him. Amen? Amen. And so what we see here is a relationship that's being built, and He's building up to a point where He's going to talk about confession. But it starts out first acquainting ourselves with Him, making Him first in our life. And let everything else be secondary. Let everything get dimmer. Let Him get brighter. Let everything just fade away and let Him get clearer. Approach Him. Things become clearer by approach. The closer you get to things, the clearer they are. The closer you are to God, the clearer He is. Amen? Amen. And He says in the 28th verse, y'all ready for this one? You also declare a thing and it will be established to you, so the light will shine upon your ways. Amen. Woohoo!
Praise God.
I love that verse. Yes. I quote it often. I mean, I love that verse. Of course, that verse is in context of those verses prior to it. And if I'm not greedy and I'm not lustful and my heart is right and my heart is full of His Word, are you with me? And I've gotten rid of sin. I'm living for Him. You know what? I'll decree a thing, declare a thing, decree, says in King James Version, and it, what I decree, will be established to me, and the light will shine upon my ways. Now, that's a wonderful promise, it is. But it's a promise in context. That I, as a Christian, obviously wouldn't decree the wrong thing or declare the wrong thing, because if I've acquainted with God, got rid of sin, His Word's in my heart, I'm following His instruction, and I don't lust and I'm not greedy, I can decree things and they won't be wrong, they'll be right things. Amen? They'll be based on what God says. They'll be based on His Word. See, this business of saying and praying and coming to pass obviously is based on the Scripture. We're saying and praying what the Scripture says, and we're saying and praying it from a right heart. from a good heart. But all that being equal, yes, I could decree and I could declare out of my heart things that are based on my relationship with God, based on the instruction I've gotten from Him, the promises that He's given me. If I have His Word on it, and I'm declaring His Word, and I'm decreeing His Word, then it, what I declare, will be established to me, and the light will shine on my ways to bring it to pass. I'll see how to make it happen. He'll give me creativity. He'll give me wisdom. He'll show me the road to get on. He'll give me the direction that I need to make it happen. When I decree it out of a good heart, it'll be established to me, and all of a sudden, man, all these plans will start coming, and He'll start laying it all out before me, and I will see it. Amen. I'll see it. Instead of saying, man, that'll never happen. I can't see that ever happening. I need to start saying, well, God says thus and so, and I believe in the name of Jesus it'll be just like God says, and I believe I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. And then as I say that out of a pure heart, all of a sudden, man, light starts shining.
Yes.
Light starts shining. Instead, well, I just don't think I could ever do that. Well, don't say that. Start saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because out of a pure heart, what you decree is established unto you, and light shines upon your ways. What have you been decreeing? About your kids, about your family, about your marriage, about your church, about your job. What have you been decreeing about your walk with God? Are you with me? What have you been saying? Better watch what you say. Jesus said in Matthew 12:37, says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. You know what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness after the 12 spies went out to Kadesh Barnea, Numbers the 13th chapter. The 12 spies went in to spy the land. 10 came back with the bad. 2 came back with the good. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And the 10 that came back with the evil report, the Bible says, was the report that they couldn't do what God says. Real simple. But the bad thing about it, they were all leaders of their clan, leaders of their tribes, and so they influenced the greater part of Israel. Well, we know they influenced at least 10 out of the 12 tribes. And the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers says that the rest of Israel, I mean, they cried all night, and they wailed and they murmured and they complained all night about this, the bad report. They had a pity party. That's what they did. Only people show up at pity parties, you and the devil. And so when they finally got up, they decided, we'll just stone Moses and Aaron, and we'll go back, and they want to stone Joshua and Caleb, and we'll just go back to Egypt. Man, everybody talks about wanting to be Moses. I wouldn't want to be Moses. Have to deal with all those people. And God was not happy. You ought to read Numbers 14. It was not a good day for God. He wasn't happy at all about this. Okay, they said things like, God has brought us out in the wilderness to die. Would to God we had stayed in Egypt. God says, Moses, I'm going to kill everyone up. I'm going to save you. I'm going to raise up a nation to you. Moses said, God, you can't do that. You can't. Thank God for Moses. You know, I'm thinking, if I was Moses, kill him. Kill him. But Moses prayed. I said, it's a strange chapter. I understand that. It's a strange chapter. But that's what happened. He prayed. He says, Lord, you can't do this now. Look. If you kill all them, then all these Egyptians that you showed yourself so mighty, all those 10 plagues came down. You crossed the Red Sea. They drowned over there in the Red Sea. You brought all these people out here. They're going to say, and all these nations are going to say, oh yeah, he got them out here, but he couldn't feed them. He couldn't protect them. And what are you going to look like? Well, I thought that was, what an argument. I don't think we often live that way. We don't think it in terms of what's God going to look like if we don't do right, you know. He says, God, you can't do that. And so anyway, they figured it out. He said, okay, I'm going to let them live. But they're not going to go in the land of Canaan. They're going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years for every day that they spied out the land. They spied out the land 40 days, 1 year for every day. 1 year for every day. And they will not go in the land of Canaan. Only their children, everyone 20 years old up, they're going to die in the wilderness, every single one of them. And he said this to the, he said, you tell them this. He said, just like they said in my hearing, I will do to them.
Yeah.
Just like they said, just like they decreed, it's going to be established unto them. They said, I brought them out here to die. They're going to die. Wow. Are you kidding me? Wow. You mean it doesn't matter? Does it matter what I say? I think so. He said, except Joshua and Caleb. Because they said something different. They said, let us go in. We're well able to overcome. They're bred for us. Their defense has departed from them. The Lord is with us.
Yes,
only rebel not against the Lord. That's what they said. Joshua and Caleb said. You know what? They got what they said. And you know what the children of Israel got? They got what they said.
Amen.
Words matter. They matter to God. He said, just like they said, in my hearing, that's what's going to happen to them. Wow. Man, I want to watch what I say. How about you? Well, how do I know what to say? How can I put faith in what I say? Well, acquaint yourself with God.
Yeah.
Spend time with the Lord. Get His Word in you. Be at peace. Then you'll begin to say the right things. And you know what? What you decree will be established unto you. You don't want to say the wrong things. You don't want to shoot yourself in the foot. And I think a lot of times we've done that. I think sometimes we're our own worst enemy. We've said the worst thing. We've said the things that are happening in our marriage. We've said it over and over. And we're reaping the result of it. We've seen our kids grow up and become those little monsters we said they would be. Instead of praying over them, saying the right thing over them, hello, we've seen our job just go down the tubes. We've seen all kinds of things happen. We've been saying it over and over. And we have that holy sacred right when it's all said and done to say, I told you so. Well, you did. You told, and that's the problem. That's not something to brag about. That's something to repent of. I know I need to repent of it all the time. The things I say all the time about important things, about people and about me and about family and about ministry. Oh, come on. We got to start believing God. We got to start saying the right thing. Because what we're decreeing, see, is being established unto us. Man, this is better preaching. Y'all are amening. I'm needing this. I need to hear this. Hallelujah. I'm going to get this CD. Brenda's going to bring this back to me over and over in the future. I know she will. You let me get a little negative. She's going to go, you remember that sermon? I heard you preach. I'm decreeing it. Yeah, here I am saying it. It's going to happen now. Okay. All right. Well, you will also decree a thing, and it will be established unto you, and the light will shine upon your ways. I love that. The light will shine upon your ways. Light will shine. You ever been in a situation where somebody's telling you can make it, and you just can't see it?
Yeah.
You even say that. You know, that's a metaphor. We can't talk without metaphors. Our whole language is filled with metaphors. We'll say, man, I just can't see that. Well, what you mean, you can't picture, you can't envision it, you can't in your mind. It's not talking about seeing it naturally, but we use that word see for that. But, you know, the question I always ask, why can't you see it? Why can't you see it? Well, you know, this happened. I've tried that and it didn't work. And I did this and I've been watching TV and a lot of people tried that and it didn't work. And all those soap operas, they die. Hello? Well, it could be. Maybe you need to change what you're looking at here, okay? It's just a thought. I'm just saying, you know. Maybe your experiences and the people you hang around with and the things you watch don't reinforce your faith, okay? Maybe you need to get in the Word or get around church people or get around people that believe God and encourage your faith, because you see, what you see is determined by what's going inside of you, what's building up inside of you. See, words are powerful things. In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy word gives light. And it gives understanding to the simple. I like that. You can't see it because you hadn't said it. You won't say it, so no light comes. Light comes when you say it. Light comes when you say what God says. But because we're not saying what God's saying, we have no light on it. And so we can't see it. Man, I wish. Well, you've got to quit wishing and start believing. Well, I sure hope. Well, you know, hope's okay, but you've got to get past hope into faith. You've got to believe. You say, well, how am I going to believe? Well, get a little more light on it. We can start believing. Well, how do I get light?
Amen.
The entrance of thy word gives light.
Yes. Amen.
And you shine enough light on it, you can see it. Oh, yeah, I see. Whoa, I need a little more light. Quote me another verse. Oh, yeah. Okay, quote me another one. Whoa, wait a minute.
There you go.
Give me another one verse. Give me another one. Give me another one. Whoa, whoa, I see it now. Because you hadn't been hearing what God says, you cannot see your way out. You see nothing but what's happened in your life. You see nothing but the misery that you're going through. You're still stuck in the wilderness of your pain, and the land of Canaan's over here waiting for you to cross over the Jordan. Hallelujah. But you need the Word to do that. Because it's God's Word that brings light. And if you will begin to declare and decree it, it will be established unto thee, and then the light will begin to shine on your ways. If you say you can't, you can't. If you'll start saying you can in Jesus' name, then all of a sudden, you'll start seeing how you can. They'll start opening up. Genesis 1:3 said, God said, let there be light. And there was light. When? When He said it. When He said it. God said, let there be light. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a light to my feet and a lamp to my path. Yeah. I love that. I want the word to lighten up my path. I want the word to be a lamp to my feet and a light to the road that I live on. I want to shine the light on the victory. I want to shine the light on getting out of this mess I'm in. I want to shine the light on overcoming sin. I want to shine the light. Well, if I get right with God, okay, let's get right with God. Let's get His Word inside of us. Let's know God. Let's love God. So that's first, got to love God. Love God and know God.
Amen.
Love His Word. Then start talking. Hey, don't talk yet. Don't talk yet. Don't talk till you start knowing God. Don't talk till you know His Word. You out there? Don't start talk till you get peace. Start talking. See, because you're talking right now, you just rattled. That's all you are. Got a phone call the other day for somebody. Nobody you know. Okay. Really, I just want to make sure so y'all know. You know, it really wasn't anybody in this church. Somebody I know. Call me up. Very words they said. If they're in a tizzy. You know what a tizzy is? Okay. And said, I'm in a panic and I just had to call. You know how I am when I get in a panic. I start talking. I said, yeah, you do. And I thought, when you're in a panic, that's when you don't talk, all right? Just be, if you can't talk the word, get peace. Get peace and then start talking. You know, you get in more trouble when you get mad. The first report you hear, you just fly off the handle. And for long, you've done stuff you can't believe you did. But you know what? You didn't pray. You didn't calm down. Hello.
Praise God.
You didn't even get the story straight. You just heard something that somebody said that somebody else said that they heard somebody say. And you just can't wait to give them a piece of your mind. You don't even know what was said. You don't know what happened. Come on. Settle down. Pray. Maybe it was bad. I don't know. But don't make a fool out of yourself, okay? Don't enter into another man's sin. You didn't do anything wrong, but all of a sudden you are fixing to get in sin. You know, St. Augustine, I love that quote. He said this, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men.
Yeah.
How many times have you sinned because of what somebody else did? Come on, four of y'all. I'm going to pray for y'all. Y'all need prayer. I don't know what the deal is with y'all. I mean, somebody got mad, somebody said something, did something. You didn't do anything wrong. They did it to you, okay? But see, what happened was you got mad.
Yeah.
You got bitter.
Uh-huh.
And then you got in sin. And here we go. Yeah, but you know what he did? I know what he did. Why did you do what you did? Because he did what he did. Well, that's no reason to be doing what you do, because it's what he did. Is that right? Okay, let's get off that so I don't lose you completely. Well, you want to talk right? I want to talk right. Don't you? Do you want to see good established in your life? I do. I really do. You want to be lifted up? Do you want to get out of the mess you're in? Well, first of all, let's get right with God. Let's get that straight, because that's a lot more important than all that other stuff. And if that is straight, then through your acquaintance with God and through the Word in your heart, you'll begin to speak the Word. Now, see, you have to say it. You got to quit saying the wrong thing. You got to quit saying I can't make it. You got to quit saying I'm going down. I'm losing everything I got. I don't count. I don't amount to anything. God doesn't love me. Yes, He does. Don't you believe that lie? God loves you. There's no hope for me. That is a lie. There is hope for you. Jesus shed blood on the cross. He gave His life for you because He believed in you. We talk about believing in God. It's very important. We must get our trust in God. But I will tell you this. God believes in you a whole lot more than you believe in Him.
Amen.
A whole lot more. He believes you can make it. He believes you're worth it. So much so, He sent Jesus to die for your sins and for your sicknesses and for your pain. And He has plans for you to live with Him forever. Forever and ever and ever. He's not like this in the South where sometimes we'll say, y'all come in town, come see us sometime. No, He wants you to live with Him forever. He really means it too. He's not saying that hospitably, you know, as we do in the South. You know, we all say that, oh, come see me, man, come give me a call. And we do mean it, but, you know, after a couple of weeks, we reckon them go home, you know. I mean, come on. But God wants us to live with Him forever. He really loves us. Man, so I want to acquaint myself with Him. Amen. That's what I want to get across. Love God, love His Word, and then talk right. But let's get it in that order. If you're not going to talk right if you don't love God. You're not going to talk right if you're not acquainted with Him and full of His Word. But if you are, all things being equal, and you're talking the Word, what you're saying will be established to you, and the light will shine upon your ways, and you can come out of that mess, hallelujah, and you got a bright future. So bright you got to wear shades. I love it.